Another chat with Quincy City Council President Nina Liang about the February 8th City Council meeting. Nina, it's just wall-to-wall council meetings in February. How are you?
It is. I'm good. How are you?
Doing well. Thanks for spending some time to chat with us about last night's meeting and keeping up the tradition of honoring COVID-19 heroes.
Yes, we are. We had Council McCarthy actually brought in the folks from the Germantown Neighborhood Center to give them thanks for everything that they've done. I mean, they are an incredible organization outside of the pandemic, right? But then you think about everything that they have done. And obviously, you know, they're run by and coordinated by the South Shore YMCA. You think about everything that they have done with respect to, you know, providing the food bank to folks in the neighborhood, to making sure that, you know, they're working with Father Bill's, the homeless shelter, to have, you know, extra space for folks to go and stay if they needed it. And they just are an incredible team over there, you know, between both centers, but particularly Germantown Neighborhood Center. And you think about the area that they serve and the families that they serve and the kids that they serve, again, year round in and outside of the pandemic, right? A lot of these organizations, I think, that we've had the pleasure of speaking with and honoring do a phenomenal job across the city, even outside of the pandemic. So for them to keep up their services, you know, in a time when there's so many unknowns, I think is a testament to their commitment and giving back.
Yeah, I know they've seen a tremendous increase in need for their food pantry. So if anybody wanted to help out, one simple way to do it would be to make a donation to the food pantry, either with food or with monetary or gift card donations. I know it will go to good use for sure.
100%, yes. Yep.
Mm-hmm. There was, I guess, an ordinance committee meeting first before council, is that right?
Yes, that's correct. We had the ordinance committee meeting for three items. One was on making a change to the language right now on how we're posting and advertising for jobs within city government. The second was making an amendment to the business licenses and regulations section and just adding some language about providing the city more control over the business licenses should any, you know, business licenses go under investigation or get pulled for any reason. We as a city want to be able to get those licenses back, as we should, since they're business licenses for, you know, Quincy businesses and their, you know, their hours. And so it gives us a little bit more teeth in that process. And then third was talking about, you know, just clarifying the definition of affordable housing across the city and, you know, creating some clear goals on what we need to do. So those three items have been pending in committee for a little bit now. And, you know, this was just a process for us to meet in committee to discuss those three items.
Okay. Was there any action taken on any of them?
On two out of three. So the affordable housing one we had to hold on. We do still need to have a public conversation around that and engage the public with a public hearing. So we're going to have that prior to our regularly scheduled council meeting on March 1st at 6:30 p.m. And then we're going to be going into discussion. And at that point, if it goes to a vote, then we can. But we need to make sure we're engaging the public on that first.
Okay. But the other two were reported out of committee?
They were positively out of committee.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And were they voted on at the full council meeting or no?
They were. And both of them passed.
Mm-hmm. They were? Okay. I'm guessing the biggest topic last night was the COVID-19 vaccination clinic update, right?
Yes. Yes. You know, there's, I can't believe a week has already gone by. It's very strange, the passage of time this past year. I've noticed that I keep saying last year, referring to 2019. And last year was 2020. It's very strange how quickly it's gone by, but then also how much happens within that time. And similarly, so this week, it's been a week and a day now since the administration and the folks in partnership with Michelle over at the Recreation Department, and of course, our incredible partner at Manit, have launched the city's programming with what we're going to do with providing vaccinations. And it was helpful to get an understanding of where we are in the city and what we can do to support residents who are now eligible to get the vaccine. So of course, you know, this is a top-down impact, right? It's whatever the federal government is providing to each of the states, and then the state provides to each of the cities and towns that we can then implement. So too are they providing it to the hospitals and primary care doctors, right? And so it's really, I think, you know, you're a lot's happening all at once. And so just as a resident, right, if you and I become eligible, it's like, who do I call? What's the best resource to reach out to? Because there's so many different places that are implementing different policies around this, right? So it was really helpful to have Mr. Walker present things that we're doing here in the city. We do have a hotline set up for folks to call in both English and Chinese, which is great. And we also have the city website set up where people can go right online and go to a form and submit their name to, you know, be in the queue to get a vaccine as well. All that information is on the city's website at quincyma.gov/vaccines. encourage folks to go and check that out. They could also reach out directly to Manit too, to schedule through their online portals and platform. They're doing this over at 180 Old Colony Avenue. And then they can also go to the state's website for statewide information on what the state is doing. That's the place I would encourage folks to go to take a look at the information for phases, because even within the three phases, you have like these little mini phases, you know? And so right now we're in phase two, sort of mini phase or part one, right? Where we're not fully through phase two yet. And so I encourage folks to definitely go to the state's website to look at what our state is doing in implementing those phases and who falls into, again, the different sections of those phases as well. Just some statistics and some great numbers to share with you. We average about 300 people a day for people who are signing up for appointments. We are vaccinating, I think at this point, again, it's been a day, a week and a day, and we vaccinated close to about 1,000 people already. And yesterday when they were reporting it, last week alone, they had 500 at one point, 300 in one day actually vaccinated. And so it's starting to ramp up, and they're going to continue to ramp that up to make sure that we can meet the need. You know, the issue right now isn't the resources and the coordination around it. The city does a phenomenal job and making sure all hands are on deck, hitting the ground running, right? They've proven that time and time again that they do that very well. It's the supply at the end of the day. You know, it's not just, okay, well, the vaccines go into the federal government, to the state, and directly into the city of Quincy, right? They go to so many different places, again, to your primary care doctor, to your hospitals, right? To different pharmacies, you know? And so it's really a matter of supply right now.
Yeah. Does, you know, the fact that the city doesn't really have a health commissioner right now concern you?
Yes and no. I think it's one of those things where, yes, of course, we want a commissioner, right, at all different, in all different departments of local government. However, you do need to also think about what that commissioner does and who they work with in their department and everybody that actually implements the work within those departments. And the thing is, the commissioner is a piece of the health department, and there's a lot of people within the health department that are still there, have done this work throughout the pandemic last year, and will continue to do the work this year. And they are capable people in the health department, and they're the ones, again, also working through this. And again, we do have the partnership with Manit that has been incredibly, I think, really a great resource for us. And so there's still a lot of folks who are still here in the city, even without, you know, that one position as a health commissioner. Of course, again, we do want that position filled. However, I do have confidence in the people that have been here throughout the pandemic under Ruth's leadership, as well as continuing to stay here and work through this vaccination program now.
Yeah, I know in speaking with Cynthia Sierra at Manit, they too are concerned about supply. You know, they're only as effective as the number of supply vaccines they can get. So it's going to be a longer haul, I think, you know, rather than a short sprint.
Exactly, 100%. It's a matter of making sure we get our hands on as many vaccines as possible and then turn that around as quickly as possible also.
Yeah.
So we're ready. You know, we have everything set up. We have all the infrastructure set up. They've done a phenomenal job in doing it in a very short period of time. And we're ready to go. We are moving right now. We are ready to go right now. And hopefully we'll get more vaccines soon and can start moving through the phases more quickly.
Yeah, I know there have been some clinics that have been taken right to the senior housing. That way those folks don't have to travel out at all. Brewster Ambulance, I think some firefighters doing vaccinations right in the housing projects.
Yes, and that's something that, you know, again, ideally, the more supply we get, the more quickly we can get through the most vulnerable population, I think, here in the city.
Right. Just wondering if you'll have another update from the administration throughout the process as these phases, go through.
Yeah, so they're providing daily updates on the social media platform with the City of Quincy. You know, they do daily COVID-19 updates, and they have been doing that. And then as they progress as well and provide information to us, we can then push that out to our constituents also. So yeah, we're trying to stay in the know and help disseminate information as much as possible and be as supportive as possible in providing infrastructure to that network.
Okay. Something else that's coming up soon is a joint meeting between City Council and School Committee to fill Anthony Andronico's old School Committee seat.
That's right. So another meeting back to back. We're having quite a flurry of meetings. It's been good. So we are meeting on the 16th. It's an off night for both the council and the school committee since it's a joint meeting. And we, you know, council meets on Monday, school committee meets on Wednesday. So we're meeting on Tuesday, and it's going to be in person over at Quincy High School. We're all going to be super socially distanced, and it's going to be at 6:30 p.m.
Okay. Do you have a candidate you'll be nominating?
I still have to go through the folks who reached out who are interested. This process is a little bit different than the one that we conducted. The one that I coordinated along with my colleagues was the, as you know, the process where folks who were interested could submit their letter of intent and resume and then come before us and provide a statement before nominations were given. This process, it's just nominations and that's it. And so folks have been reaching out to us who are interested though with just, you know, phone calls or emails. And so I still want to make sure I'm having those conversations before making a decision.
Okay. And is it a simple majority vote between the two bodies? So how does it work?
That's correct. So somebody would need to receive a nomination and then a second followed by a vote. And then similar to the city council appointment, it would need a majority in order to get the appointment.
Okay. And as I understand it, that term, Anthony's school committee term expires the end of this year. Is that right?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And would that person that's appointed then be eligible to run for the full four-year term?
Oh, 100%. Yes. Whoever is interested should absolutely, you know, consider running for the seat, just like any of the seats that are up for election and people who are interested for it, right? I mean, this is how government works. We want to make sure that people are engaged in this process.
Okay, very good. So maybe we will talk again before the end of February, Nina.
You can't get rid of me that quickly, Jeff.
That's fine with me.
Hopefully my computer will work at that point and I don't have to do this on my phone. I apologize again, but I think this worked out okay, you know?
We're doing just fine. Nobody would know the difference. That's good.
good.
Talk a little bit about some healthy discussion around a resolution proposed by Councillor Kane regarding getting kids back into the classrooms.
Yeah, so this was something that I was in support of as well, and I appreciate that Councillor Kane brought this to the council for us to, you know, have this in front of us that we can talk about it and address it and, you know, share all of our support, right, in providing the safest path for teachers, administrators, and students and their families to get back into the classroom. And so, yeah, as you said, it was a healthy conversation, I think, because, and some of my other colleagues who were not in support of this, I think, brought up a good point, is that ultimately, you know, this is within the school committee's purview, and they have been working nonstop. I mean, Joe, you said, you know, you mentioned, and we talked about meeting back-to-back meetings. School committee has been meeting nonstop. And this is, you know, something that they have taken as their priority, right? And we're talking within the last year, they've been meeting nonstop. And this is the middle of having to also look for a superintendent, right? And so they've done a phenomenal job in making sure that this is a priority for them. And some of my colleagues in the council brought up, again, a good point, I think, in making sure that this isn't coming across as us trying to take over that process or insert ourselves in that process, right? This is entirely a process that we want to be in support of, right? And so, again, I think there were some really valid concerns that were brought up in the interpretation of this resolve. Again, for myself personally and some other folks who supported the resolve, I believe understood that Councillor Kane brought this forward to have a, you know, an intentional show of support for the incredible, difficult, and hard work that the school committee has done in trying to move this forward.
Yeah, I know it passed with 5-4 votes, so it was close. The overall intent, I think, even for folks who didn't vote in support of it, understood, you know, the motive behind it.
Correct. Yes, and again, I fully respect and see the perspective that some of my colleagues, again, who didn't vote to support it are coming from. It's the intent versus impact, right? And the perception of some of the language around that. Some folks that could see, could read that and think, you know, is this us trying to, you know, insert ourselves at all in overstepping? And I completely respect that perspective. Again, just for me personally, and in my conversations with Councillor Kane, understood that it wasn't that at all. And it was, again, an intentional show of support.
Sure, absolutely. We should end with something fun, Nina. Lunar New Year.
Yes, I'm so excited. As you can tell, I'm breaking out all of my red clothes. So I'm very excited. It's this Friday, February 12th. I will also just mention it's also my sister's birthday, which is fun. I don't recall the last time it's fallen on her birthday, but because the Chinese calendar changes, it doesn't, you know, fall like according to our calendar. And so I'm really excited to celebrate her birthday. Happy birthday, Eve, if you're out there watching. But yes, it's the Lunar New Year. It's the year of the ox, and it is It follows the year of the rat, which I think is pretty appropriate if you think about, you know, the connotations with the rat. No, but in all seriousness, the year of the rat and what that means pretty much came true last year, you know, with its sort of upset of things. And if you think of metaphors, it's like flipping a table, right? And that's very much what last year ended up being. And so when you come into the year of the ox, it's a lot of keeping your head down, refocusing, recentering, and more importantly, rebuilding, you know? And I think that's very much what this year should be for all of us too. It is, of course, the underlying celebrations of family and hoping for prosperity, good health, you know, good fortune. And so I do challenge folks to remember that as we go into the Lunar New Year, that it's always about making sure to take some time to celebrate with your loved ones and to celebrate each other's, again, prosperity and good health and happiness. But more importantly, and particularly with the year of the ox, it's about, you know, really just recentering yourself and focus on rebuilding, whatever that may be, you know, rebuilding for what the new normal is for you and your loved ones, rebuilding, you know, what the sort of professional life looks like for you and the professional capacity and schooling and all of the above, right? It's about really just reassessing, recentering, and rebuilding. So I hope folks will take that into consideration into the celebrations this weekend and take some time to log off and decompress and take some time to celebrate with your family and loved ones.
Absolutely. Yeah. We're proud here at Quincy Access Television to partner with Quincy Asian Resources to provide a virtual Lunar New Year celebration on Sunday, February the 14th. So we hope folks will log on at least for that and enjoy that virtual celebration.
Yeah. It's again, it's sharing that kind of love and happiness, right, with one another and being in community that you love, right? Community is family for a lot of people. So come and join your family in celebrating that. And I'm so glad that, you know, you're going to be working over at QATV to share that out to folks and make sure that people have a platform to celebrate. It's so tough. You know, that celebration every year is such a testament to the city's diversity, right? And it has just blown up over the years. And so to then have it not be something that we can physically go to is really upsetting. However, you know, to know that all of you over at QATV are making it still an accessible event is incredible. So I'm so grateful to all of you to providing that to all of us.
Oh yeah, we're happy to do it, absolutely. It's the 33rd annual. And with that, I will wish you a Gong Hei Fa Choi.
Thank you so much, Gong Hei Fa Choi.
Thanks, Nina. We'll catch up again soon.
Sounds good. Happy New Year, Joe.
Bye-bye.
Bye.